89.5 FM WBAI New York and on the internet at WBAI.org. It is 5 o'clock. The program you just heard, Labrish with Haptah Selassie, will be back next week at 2 following the work of the Midnight Ravers. It's time for Back of the Book.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the Feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. Well, okay, okay, we went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
It's going to be about 5 a.m., and you're listening to all. Memorial Day weekend is getting rained out. Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty and soggy hello to our dear 19 listeners wherever they may be.
Indeed. And we're going to talk about various things on this program, and you can find out a little bit more about them by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can look around at things up there. When you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame on the left-hand side of your screen, and at the top of it, it will say latest Back of the Book program links. Click on that, and you will get to the webpage for tonight's program. The WBAI website and the archives seem to be functioning. If you find the archives to be not functioning, please email me, rpm@glib.com. That's rpm@glib.com, and let me know and I'll do something about it. This is our 45th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. And it's done on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we can't reference them. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. And the top news story of the week. On Twitter, we are holding at 109 followers. Oh, so tremendous. It had dropped to 108, but it's back up to 109 now. And the next public WBAI local station board meeting is scheduled to be held on Wednesday, June 9th, 2021 at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. According to the Johns Hopkins website, COVID-19 cases in the whole world reached 169,147,111 on Friday. Global deaths reached 3,515,183. In America, the number of cases as of Friday was 33,234,714, and the death toll in America was 593,845. So 4,749 people have died of COVID-19 in America since our last program 1 week ago. The death rate is noticeably higher than last week's, around 800. We're now back to above 4,000 dead in America per week, but at least we're still under 5,000 dead per week. By the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of those figures we quoted will be higher, of course. And although the trend overall is good, we're still looking at a tremendous death toll here. And all of this was preventable. India is the second most infected country with 27,555,457 cases now, and their death rate has reached 318,895. So India has had 27,564 deaths in this past week. It was a little less than the previous week, but the figures are probably questionable or probably higher than that. And the fact is, India is racing towards higher and higher levels. Okay, we got to pitch a little bit. And this is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. And the program is Back of the Book. And my name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. And we've just done a bit of science stuff, which, again, you probably will not hear all over the radio. At least not all over the radio. And what happens is this is listener-sponsored non-commercial radio, which means that we're not sponsored by sponsors who sell you motor vehicles or other stuff. So what we do is we appeal to you, our sponsors or potential sponsors. Some of you are our sponsors, and we thank you for that. Some of you are not, and we appeal to you to become our sponsors. And what that means is you get up, you go to your phone, you dial 1-212-209-2950, and when the person at the call center picks up, you say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. A BAI buddy is a name we have for our sustaining membership. And what happens is you call up the call center, say you want to become a BAI buddy, and then you'll have the option of donating to WBAI once a month. And you can donate, you pick how much you want to donate. You can donate $5 a month or $10 a month or $15 a month or $20 a month. And you also say what day of the month you want your charge card, your credit card or your debit card charged for that amount of money. And so there you go. Again, 1-212-209-2950. And that's the way we fund this wild place. It costs about $120,000 a month, the general manager says, to run WBAI. And also, I have known for years that pitching on Memorial Day weekend usually doesn't work, but maybe you could be a standout. Maybe you could say, hey, I wanna show that there are people listening on Memorial Day weekend. And so maybe you would get up and go to your phone, dial 1-212-209-2950 and say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. Alternatively, if you make a one-time donation of $25 or more to WBAI, you become a member of WBAI, and you will be able to vote in the upcoming elections for the local station board. And that's going to start in July, I think. So you got to get your stuff in there soon. All right. And again, 1-212-209-2950. And that way you'll be able to vote for people who are not saying, let's give the radio station away to some cable access outfit in Manhattan, which some people want to do. And if they get a majority on the local station board, they will have a wedge into getting that done. 1-212-209-2950. Please give us a call at that number. Give us a call at that number now. Say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And you tell them whether you want to donate $5 a month or $10 a month or $15 a month or $20 a month. Or alternatively, tell them you want to donate $25 or more one time to become a member. That would help us a lot. Again, 1-212-209-2950. Please give us a call at that number. It will help. So we've seen this getting reported all over the place. But quoting from the Washington Post, Manhattan District Attorney Cy Vance Jr. has impaneled a grand jury to weigh evidence in a criminal probe into former President Donald Trump and his businesses. And last month, we talked about having heard, just as we were about to record the program, that the former daughter-in-law of Trump's main money man for decades had been talking about all of the evidence that she had about Trump's business practices. Well, she got served with a grand jury subpoena, and she apparently gladly turned boxes containing years of evidence over to the district attorney's investigators. Yeah, if you're gonna go mess around with your wife when the divorce is happening and try to evict her from where she lives, she may not like you anymore. And oops, those boxes of incriminating documents you left around, she's gonna let them go to other places. Cy Vance will like to look at that. It's also being reported that Trump's former fixer and personal attorney, Michael Cohen, is cooperating in the probe, and he also recently dropped off what's called a caseload of documents to the district attorney's office. Oh boy, boxes and caseloads of documents related to the stuff that Trump was doing in business, none of which can be pardoned. And, well, I don't think the governor of New York is going to pardon that. I mean, I don't know. Maybe the Giuliani that wants to run for governor would do that, I suppose. But first, he'll pardon his father. I remember when he was an 8-year-old brat being annoying while his father was being inaugurated as one of the worst mayors we've ever had. But now he wants to be a bigger brat and become governor because, after all, he has no experience in anything. Anyway, New York Attorney General Letitia James has also launched, of course, a civil probe into the Trump Organization. She did that in March of 2018, and last week her office confirmed that her investigation is now criminal in nature. Oh boy, not just going to sue for money, but maybe some go-to-jail stuff going to happen to Trumpy Poo and his bone spur and some of his pals. Also, we're reading that two assistant attorneys general have since been embedded in the Manhattan District Attorney's office. So they're all going to be coordinating all of this lovely information they have. What all of these investigators are looking at is the tendency of the Trump businesses to allegedly inflate and deflate the value of assets in order to, on the one hand, secure bank loans at a favorable rate because the business is doing so great, while, on the other hand, showing large business losses in order to get tax breaks. And generally, they're presenting the state of the businesses in whatever way will get them other financial benefits. And that sort of activity can amount to fraud, as the Washington Post puts it. And we're not talking about small amounts of money or small misrepresentations here. We're talking about millions and millions of dollars. And if you do that kind of thing, it really is a serious fraud, and it's against the law, and stuff can happen when you break the law. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office is saying that this grand jury will be impaneled for 6 months, which is longer than grand juries usually tend to sit. So they know that there will be a lot of stuff to go over in those boxes and cases. The big question will be if Trump and his cronies can stall and delay the grand jury and or any other court proceedings that follow it, enough to have the entire process just peter out due to exhaustion. I mean, what if they can make it take like 10 years to do this stuff? Trump will probably be dead by then, and some of the other people will be dead, and, gee, punishing dead people is so difficult. Prosecutors will also have to present what may be pretty complicated and possibly convoluted financial shenanigans in a way that a trial jury will be able to grasp everything that went on. Because, you know, if you're hiding things in dummy corporations and other stuff, and there are all sorts of ways people have come up with over the centuries to try and hide what they're doing with money. And I'm sure that Trump and his money people know all those tricks. And given what a liar Trump is, I'm sure that any and all legal proceedings will have to deal with misrepresentations and tricks designed to keep Trump out of prison. Whether he'll also pull out all the stops for his family members is a question. I suspect that if he finds that he can save himself by throwing one or more of his kids under the bus, he'll do it. And in some technological news that affects every last one of us, yeah, Big Brother's around. Microsoft President Brad Smith told the BBC that, quote, if we don't enact the laws that will protect the public in the future, we are going to find the technology racing ahead, and it's going to be very difficult to catch up. I'm constantly reminded of George Orwell's lessons in his book 1984. You know, the fundamental story about a government who could see everything that everyone did and hear everything that everyone said all the time. Well, that didn't come to pass in 1984, but if we're not careful, that could come to pass in 2024. Unquote. And the BBC report focused on AI, that is artificial intelligence innovation, in China, and its support of the country's ruling Communist Party, where they really are spying on people like crazy, and they use facial recognition, and they can spot what you're doing at all times, even if you're not outside. I think inside they can figure out what's going on. And, oh, man, because besides looking at optical wavelengths, they could also have various things looking at you in infrared, which means they can see through the walls of your house. So if they can see through the walls of your house, they can tell what you're doing in the house. They can tell them how many people are in the house, even if they're hiding. And all sorts of things going on there. In what I think is a related story, British drug dealer Carl Stewart sent a message in an encrypted chat that showed him simply holding a block of blue Stilton cheese. It turned out that the British police had cracked the encrypted chat service EncroChat, and they traced the photo to Stewart by determining his fingerprints and palm prints based on the cheese photograph. Stewart pled guilty and was sentenced to more than 13 years in jail. Now, yeah, I've wondered for years if this could be done because I've seen photographs and I said, geez, you know, it looks to me like I can sort of see the ridges and grooves on some of these fingers that we, you know, you could see in a photograph. And I've wondered, you know, paranoid me, oh, geez, should I be careful about that? You know, holding something up? Should I? And I have tended to crop out my fingers when I'm holding something that I'm taking a photograph that I'm, for instance, putting on my website. Well, maybe our poll's paranoia isn't so displaced after all. They got this guy, and it's not theoretical. It's not a lab somewhere. This guy's doing 13 years because the cops looked at the picture he posted and were able to use probably other pieces of software to make his fingerprints come up. Oh, man. And here's another one from the Washington Post. In Dubai, using drones armed with cameras and facial recognition software, a police station in Dubai has issued 518 fines for not wearing masks in the first quarter of 2021. According to the Gulf News, two drones were used to scan the Naif neighborhood in Dubai in a, quote, first-of-its-kind, unquote, initiative. They're the first to do it. Lucky them. In addition to policing mask-wearing, the drones helped the police station issue 2,933 fines for traffic violations. Brigadier General Tariq Talak, director of Naif's police station, told the paper, quote, "The drones have the latest face recognition technology and can record in narrow streets and alleys," unquote. And getting beggars off the streets and apprehending runaway maids are among the other activities of that police station. In January, police said they solved a crime using a P300 wave machine to measure suspects' brainwave activity when shown the scene of a crime. Oh, holy hell. It's bad enough there's facial recognition, there's spying. Now they don't have to use the rubber hose and do an NYPD blue thing on you and beat the crap out of you and say, confess, confess, confess. What they can do is they can get you in there and they slap this P300 machine stuff, the leads, onto your head, and then they show you pictures. And when you see a picture of the crime scene, if you've been there, it's going to light up in your brain and they're reading your brain waves. Oh, man. Oh, man. I hope our Supreme Court, even with the right wing on it, doesn't start saying, oh, that's a good idea. We can't wait for another Fourth Amendment case to come up here. We want to read the brain waves of those left wing fanatics.
Go on, criminal.
Oh, man.
Who knew that Philip K. Dick's novels would be the template for our present?
Yes, and George Orwell.
Yes, and I can't remember the name of the author who wrote We, which predated Orwell's 1984, where in their fascist state, everyone had to live literally in glass houses so everyone would see what everyone else was doing, not just the government. So,
yeah, well... The government does not need glass anymore.
No.
They can see right through your walls and everything, and they'll probably be able to tell what you've been eating lately. Well, they can see what you've been eating. But anyway, oh, man, this is horrifying stuff.
This report will be forwarded to the Ministry of Love for further action.
And it's the Memorial Day weekend, and it's pouring rain for most of this weekend. And in other weather news, which goes beyond mere weather, the World Meteorological Organization has said that there is a 40% chance that by the year 2025, 1 year on Earth will be 1.5 degrees Celsius, which is about 2.7 degrees Fahrenheit, hotter than the pre-industrial level. Previous models from the last decade estimated that reaching the 1.5 degrees Celsius threshold was just 20%. So, geez, it's gotten worse than worse. The researchers pointed out that reaching the 1.5 degrees Celsius mark would only be temporary in 25, and the 1.5 degrees Celsius mark would not be permanently crossed for another one or two decades. Unfortunately, scientists have determined that the Earth is on target to heat up by 3 degrees Celsius, which is 5.4 degrees Fahrenheit, maybe by the end of the century. And this is something I was reading about in the, I guess it was mid-60s, maybe the early 60s, in Analog Magazine, Analog Science Fact Science Fiction Magazine, and they had some of the science fact articles, and they were talking about, gee whiz, you know, the place is heating up. There was enough evidence by then to see it seems to be global warming happening, and they, you know, this was like not anything anybody was really doing a lot about, but it was just, oh, look at this curious factoid. And they were saying, geez, you know, it doesn't sound like much, but if you get up, and they said how much each degree of extra heat would have effect on things, and 5 degrees Fahrenheit is quite a bit of extra heat because it's not distributed perfectly evenly. And so, yeah, 5.4 degrees Fahrenheit, Oh, that's going to melt a lot of things. It's going to change just so, so much. Species moving around, people moving around. We have a big problem at the southern border because, for instance, Guatemala, they can't grow food anymore because it's getting, the climate is changing there. It's too hot. And so they're all starving and they're coming running up to America hoping to get in. So, yeah, this is bad. And Trump did 4 years of damage at a critical time to the effort to deal with global warming and climate change. Geez, forget about his businesses. For that alone, he should be in prison for the rest of his life. Yeah, it's Memorial Day weekend, and it used to be Decoration Day. May 30th was Decoration Day for a very long time, and you were supposed to wear whatever decorations you'd gotten in the military at that point. And this was when a lot of the population had been in the military at some point in their lives. And I think there's a lot less of that now. And so you would wear your decorations. I never did it. Yeah, I have a military decoration. It's not anything to go whoop-de-doo about, but I have one. And so, gee whiz, I never wore mine. I could. It's a little, along with the ribbon, there's a little pin type of thing, a little lapel pin you could put on. It's still all in the box I got it in. Anyway, yeah, so it's Memorial Day, and I don't know. Do people remember that all sorts of people have made sacrifices so that we can have whatever freedom we have? Do people remember that some of what people fought for was to prevent things like spying on everybody and what the Nazis did with regimenting things and making sure that they could tell where people were so that if they said, oh, this group of people needs to go to a concentration camp, that they would be able to just grab them really easily? Do people remember that folks died to prevent that? I don't know. I think some people sure as hell don't remember that. And as we speak, it's raining and pounding on the window. I don't think you can hear it because we use these directional microphones, so you will not be bothered by all the rain smacking our window right now. In any event, I have gotten my official election mail, as it's called. It's quotes around that. For the New York primary election, and the official election mail talks about the ranked choice voting method that will be used. They present it on one small page of a brochure they've sent out, and they have a cartoon of it on half of another page. They make it seem so simple. To a degree, it is, and this is going to be quite the test in this election with this ranked choice voting. It will test, first of all, the reading comprehension of a lot of voters. You know, how many people are going to rank just one column, just mark off column? How many people are going to try and mark stuff for every single candidate? How many people are going to do all sorts of things? And we've seen how this works. And because we've seen this from BAI and Pacifica Elections. And their brochure also doesn't talk about how people will try to game the system. Yeah, simple voting majority gets it stuff. You can't game it that much. And so people don't get all tangled up trying to do it. But we have this sort of thing for the WBAI and Pacifica Elections, and people are always trying to game the system. It's also easy to outsmart yourself in terms of voting so that you'll get the election result you want. Ooh, I want to have this happen. So I'll vote this way, that way, put this one here, put that one there. And people come up with these grand designs of how to do ranked choice voting. And most of the time it just screws up and they outsmart themselves trying to get the election result they want. And I guess we'll see how this ranked choice voting for New York City works. And we'll see if people are elated by the results of it. Or if there will be a weeping and a gnashing of teeth after the primary election. Because people that folks really thought were going to win are on the outs. So, yeah. Will this continue? I don't know. I think they can only do it for local stuff, because federal elections aren't going to allow this. You would have to, I think you have to change the Constitution at that point, maybe, but you certainly have to change some big laws at that point, and the New York City Council can't change those. So, yeah, we're going to see how ranked choice voting is going to work out. It can be simple. It can also be a great way to screw up. Ah, yeah, you know, reading comprehension has not always been a shining example in schools around here. This is, as I've said before, listener-sponsored, non-commercial radio, WBAI New York, and we are here asking you for money. We're going to ask you to call the number 1-212-209-2950 and pledge some amount of money to WBAI. That's because we are listener-sponsored, which means we are actually sponsored by you, the listeners. You, the listeners, get to call up and say, yeah, I want to help WBAI to survive. You'll say, I want to help Back of the Book to stay on BAI, and I want to help WBAI to stay on the air. You do that by calling 1-212-209-2950, and when the call center picks up and answers your call, you say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. It's important to mention that you want to do it in the name of Back of the Book. That way we get credit, because management is looking at that. You know, it's, you know, management is desperate to raise money, and programs that don't raise money don't, you know, get aired a whole lot. Speaking of which, we'll be talking about a little bit of that shortly. 1-212-209-2950. That's the number to call. That's the number to call. And you can call up and say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. BAI buddy is the name of our sustaining membership. And you can pledge to donate $5 a month or $10 a month or $15 a month or $20 a month to WBAI. And you do that by calling that number and saying you want to donate that amount. You tell them what day of the month you want you to be charged for it, and they will charge your credit card or debit card on that day of the month, and you can just know that you'll be able to do it on that day. Again, you choose a day of the month that's convenient for you, not a day when you say, oh, gee, if I do this, it might happen at a day when my account is low or when I have a problem and, you know, it's not convenient. Well, you choose what day of the month is convenient for you, and you tell them to do it that day. 1-212-209-2950. And you can also make a one-time donation to WBAI at that same phone number, 1-212-209-2950, and say you want to make a one-time donation, and if your donation is $25 or more, you become a member, a voting member of WBAI, and you will be able to vote in the elections for the local station board. The local station board elections will happen in July, and by sometime in June, you have to be a member. So I would suggest doing it right away. I don't think anybody's going to be able to become a member by BAI buddying it right now. But if you want to become a BAI member, you can call up 1-212-209-2950 and say, I want to make a one-time donation of $25 or more. You make the donation. And if you do it today, if you do it while we have this program on the air, you will definitely be able to get in on time to be able to vote in this upcoming election, which is going to be important because there are people who want to give this radio station away to a cable access outfit in Manhattan, and that'll pretty much be it for WBAI, certainly BAI as you've known it. 1-212-209-2950. Tell them you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, and tell them you want to donate $5 or $10 or $15 or $20 a month, and you could do more if you want, but I think most listeners to this program, that's the range you can manage, and you'll be able to say what day of the month you want to be charged, and you'll be a donor. You'll be painlessly donating to BAI on a monthly basis. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. And you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. Let's do some science stuff. I've read an article in the May 2021 issue of Scientific American about some astrophysicists who've been mapping the universe. Not a small job. The two authors of the article, Kyle Dawson, professor of physics and astronomy at the University of Utah, and Will Percival, who's director of the Waterloo Center for Astrophysics at the University of Waterloo in Ontario, Canada, have been working for years on a project called the Sloan Digital Sky Survey. They're not the only two people working on this. A lot of people are. They say that they've created the largest map of the cosmos ever made. The map is in 3 dimensions and contains the positions of 4 million galaxies. There are some interesting things that have come from this map. It shows in more detail than previous maps do that galaxies are not distributed randomly. Instead, they cluster in patterns, long filaments and 2-dimensional sheets of galaxies in some areas, dark voids containing few galaxies and others. One thing they've discovered is that there's a pattern to the distribution of the galaxies, and the pattern is based on something called baryon acoustic oscillations. And that's something that happened because originally the Big Bang happened, and it was itsy-bitsy, teeny-weeny, and something called cosmic inflation occurred very soon after the Big Bang, and the entire universe just expanded tremendously all at once, much faster than the speed of light. And it can do that because space can move at any speed. It's not constrained. The speed of light is limited through space, but space itself can move and expand and get bigger. It doesn't matter how fast it's going. It can do whatever it pleases, apparently. Anyway, so the cosmic inflation happened all of a sudden, and there's this thing called the vacuum energy. And what happens is there's so much energy in a vacuum that it actually produces matter. There's that equation E equals MC squared, which is the energy in ergs equals matter in grams times the speed of light in centimeters per second squared, which is a really big number. And so that equation explains how the energy can become matter, and then matter can become energy. And so all of a sudden matter happens. A lot of the time what it is a positron and an electron. An electron, I'll assume everybody knows what that is. A positron is basically an electron with a positive charge. It's antimatter. And so those pop into existence all of a sudden. And since they have opposite charges, they immediately attract each other and annihilate again, and they become energy again. This is a process that's still going on. It's going on all over. It's going on within you and without you. And so when the universe inflated tremendously, that was going on. And whatever was going on with that was frozen in place, because although usually the positron and the electron are very close to each other and can slip back into each other and annihilate, when the space between them inflated tremendously, they couldn't do that. And so the matter was frozen in whatever pattern it happened to be in, which you would think would make for a random distribution. Turns out that ain't the case. And because of that, the pattern that's from long ago eventually became the filaments, sheets, and clusters of galaxy that we see today. And astronomers call this the growth of structure. And these scientists accept the idea that dark matter really is material. I'm not so sure of that. I think that so far we have observable phenomena that are caused by some means we don't understand yet. Maybe dark matter is material and is there. Maybe it isn't. In this particular article, dark matter is discussed as material stuff, so we'll go along with that. And the scientists say that the baryonic acoustic oscillations have come about because, as they put it, the universe contains two kinds of matter, one that interacts with light, the regular material that we are used to dealing with in our everyday lives, and one that does not, called dark matter. In the hot and dense early universe, ordinary matter particles and particles of light, photons, bumped into one another so often that they were essentially stuck together, whereas dark matter was free to move independently. Gravity caused dark matter to cluster in the centers of dense regions, but pressure from light trying to travel outward dragged normal matter away. The authors note that about 300,000 years after the Big Bang, the universe thinned out enough that regular matter and energy could separate from each other. That initial release of light energy from 300,000 years after the Big Bang is today's cosmic microwave background radiation, which is about 2.7 degrees Kelvin, as opposed to the original super-duper high number we can't even talk about because it's so big. Anyway, way back then, ordinary matter tended to be left in spherical shells centered around the overdensities of dark matter due to the action of gravity. The authors of the article say, the process imprinted a pattern of overly dense cores surrounded by spherical shells on the universe's matter. This pattern, known as the baryon acoustic oscillation feature, has a size called the, quote, co-moving sound horizon, unquote, and is visible in their map of galaxies. And they go on to say, the cores and shells are all about the same intrinsic size. Approximately 500 million light years separate each core from its shell. And they say, if we measure their apparent size on the night sky and compare it with what we know to be their intrinsic size, we can determine their distance from Earth. So basically, they know how wide one of these things is, 500 million light years, and when they see one, they measure how wide it seems to be, and that tells them how far away it is, pretty much how we determine most things. We do that automatically with our eyes, telling us how far away things are. The thing that's bigger is probably closer. The thing that's smaller is probably far away. And it's interesting that they have found this standard thing in the universe where you've got big chunks of matter and maybe dark matter, and it's forming structures that are 500 million light years in diameter. That's an interesting thing, I think, anyway. So, with the 4 million galaxies that these scientists map, they were not just looking at space, they were also looking at time. So given the time the light from the most distant of those 4 million galaxies has taken to get to their telescope, these scientists are looking back in time by about 11 billion years. And dark matter isn't the only enigmatic thing that's helping to shape the universe. There is also dark energy. I remember when this was discovered in 1998 and we talked about it on the air. At first, dark energy was pretty controversial. Luckily, two competing teams had been trying to determine to what degree the expansion of the universe was being slowed down by gravity and whether the expansion of the universe would eventually be reversed by gravity, resulting in what was called the Big Crunch, or not. Their unexpected discovery was that the expansion of the universe was not slowing down at all. It was accelerating. In the 23 years since it was discovered, all efforts at disproving that the expansion of the universe is accelerating have failed. It is definitely happening. The scientists who wrote the article say that, quote, the simplest mathematical model for dark energy is the so-called cosmological constant lambda, unquote. And I have to say that, although it may be the simplest mathematical model, it is not something that is definitely settled. In an article in the February 2021 issue of Scientific American, the senior editor of Scientific American, Clara Moskowitz, notes that the value of the so-called cosmological constant is 120 orders of magnitude smaller than what theory predicts it should be. And orders of magnitude is 10. And like 10 to the first power is 10. 10 to the second power, 10 squared is 100. 10 to the third power, 10 cubed is 1,000. 10 to the fourth power is 10,000. You get it. Well, this is 10 to the 120th power. That's a pretty big number. And so that's pretty big discrepancy there. It's another one of those, we don't quite know everything, do we, deals that you run into in science. But, so there's that. They're using the cosmological constant as the model for dark energy, and we don't know a hell of a lot about even that. And the cosmological constant may not be dark energy at all. Anyway, in her article, Ms. Moskowitz says that some scientists have called it, quote, the worst theoretical prediction in the history of physics, unquote. So we have another thing here that these two scientists, Dawson and Percival, are forced to base conclusions on. But it is the best information that anyone has at the moment. In their article, they say, over the past 20 years, this cosmological model, referred to as lambda cold dark matter, lambda CDM, has survived many tests, although we do not fully understand that it is our best model. So they're stuck with it, and you have to use what you can get, and this is why it's possible some of this may change in the future, but they are definitely finding some interesting stuff here. Besides that discovery that matter in the universe occurs in patterns that are about 500 million light years wide, their mapping data also shows that a transition occurred when the universe was 60% of its current size. The expansion of space stopped decelerating and started speeding up, which is because at that time, about 5.8 billion years ago by their calculations, by some previous calculations in the vicinity of 5 billion years ago, dark energy, which seems to affect space-time itself, began to overcome the attractive effect that gravity has on matter, and the deceleration of the expansion of the universe reversed. And it's possible that that may just be that things got big enough that gravity couldn't hold it anymore. Well, couldn't hold it as well anymore. And we'll see how that works out. We won't see how that works out in the future, but that's going to work out somehow in the future. Also, the two scientists say, we found no evidence that the universe is curved, giving a boost to the standard inflation picture. And that means that the universe is flat, which is something that's been discovered before, but this is a bigger map. And so if it were curved, it would really show up here. But it didn't show up here, so the universe appears to be flat. In other words, the geometry, the plane geometry you learned in high school, applies to the entire universe. It was possible that the universe could be curved in a couple of different ways, in which case geometry at a very large scale would be quite different. And there are geometries based on curved universes, And, you know, a lot of work gets done on those things too. But it looks like the universe is still flat. So that's something else that their research has come up with or confirmed. And then the authors of the article say that overall, there is no evidence from our measurements that the standard cosmological model with lambda, the cosmological constant, is wrong, which not everyone agrees with. However, they do note that there is a discrepancy they found between the expansion rate of space based on data from the local universe and that derived from the cosmic microwave background. And local measurements of supernovae lead to values that are 10% higher than what the cosmic microwave background would suggest. They then go on to say that the difference between the values is getting significant enough to call into question the basic assumptions of our cosmological model. So, oh boy. And they said, we may need to introduce a new kind of particle, field, or interaction to explain the dissonance we see. So they're admitting that there is some stuff here that raises questions and, you know, something's got to explain it. The data is just too solid in two different ways for it to be like a measurement error. And so they figure something's going on here. Something's odd. Something's happening. No telling what it might be, but maybe they will come up with what the hell this all is. Anyway, they're planning on doing more of this stuff with the Sloan Digital Sky Survey. And one project that's coming up, which has begun early science operations, is called the Dark Energy Spectroscopic Instrument, or DESI. And that's going to help them using the big telescope at Kitt Peak National Observatory in Arizona to create a deeper and denser map of the universe. And a part of what they did was they used, in order to track galaxies, they saw about where they were and they made templates, and they used single fibers, fiber optic fibers, to map that out, and then they observed them with a telescope so that only those galaxies got observed, which is a very seriously technological thing that could only be done these days with big deal computers and stuff. And so they used 1,000 fibers per template, and with this DESI instrument, they're going to be using 5,000 fiber templates. And they say that this new spectrograph, which is what they use to observe things, is capable of observing 5,000 targets simultaneously and is positioned on a telescope that has a primary mirror with a diameter approximately twice that of the Sloan telescopes, which means if it has a diameter that's twice that of the Sloan, that means it has an area to collect data in that's four times the Sloan's. And they also are going to have the 5,000 fibers put in by a dedicated robot, as opposed to the 1,000 fibers, which relied on people to painstakingly put them in. But a robot should be able to do it faster and better than a human will. And they say that in 5 years, this DESI instrument will create a galaxy survey that is more than 10 times larger than Sloan's. So what is that going to be like? 40 million galaxies will get mapped out there? Oh, boy. And there's going to be another satellite launched next year. And in 2022, the satellite mission Euclid, which is going to be launched by the European Space Agency, will also perform a large galaxy redshift survey, and it will be space-based to avoid the fuzziness introduced by the Earth's atmosphere, and Euclid will look at higher redshifts, which means greater distances, that can be seen clearly from the ground. And plans are afoot to build larger multi-object spectrographs on grander 10-meter class telescopes, which is going to be really something for them going forward. So all sorts of things are getting discovered by these two guys and through all of the scientific apparatus. And these two scientists admit that maybe the current cosmological model needs some tweaking at least. That's good to see. And so now we have better ideas of how the universe is structured, although we do not yet know why the factors that make it get structured that way do their work. So there's all sorts of new science coming out here, and it looks like over the next number of years, we're going to get even more precise mappings, which will produce even more data, and people will be able to figure more things out. And again, in science, if you find some discrepancy, you start looking at that, and that's the way you discover new stuff.
Arpal, will ordinary people be able to see these maps one day?
Yeah, should be able to. I mean, you're not going to see the great detail of the data because the data is so humongous that it will crash your computer to try and look at it. But you'll be able to see, I suppose they will post at some point, the long view of it. You'll be able to see those filaments and sheets and clusters that they're talking about. And probably they'll be able to even point out those 500 light year wide structures that they have found in the universe.
And so at some point, this will be maybe a program at the planetarium?
Maybe. Sure. I mean, at the planetarium, they can probably figure out a way to show this stuff pretty decently. And yeah, I would not be surprised if in the next couple of years, the work by these two scientists, Dawson and Percival, will be getting featured at some of the larger planetariums. So, yeah, people might get a decent look at that. And, well, you heard it here first, I suppose. I suppose we're the first people talking about this in the radio. I can't say for sure, but that might be because everybody else says, eh. Oh, there's Mr. Outro music. Okay. Okay, here we go. That's been it for Back of the Book for this fortnight. Thanks a hell of a lot for listening, and thanks a great deal if you're pledging some amount of money to this radio program and this radio station. And we gotta go now. We'll be back next week. And coming up next, remember I mentioned before about having to raise money or else? Well, coming up next is a special that will raise money. And at 7 o'clock this morning, you'll be able to hear Jim Freund with his program, Hour of the Wolf, and it's all about science fiction stuff. Okay, that's it for Back of the Book for this week. Thanks a hell of a lot for listening. And it's going to be raining out there and all of that, and you should still look out the window, and maybe you'll go out anyway. Be careful, wear a mask. And above all, remember what that looking over his shoulder at Big Brother Dormouse said. And forget about everything. This city desert makes you feel so cold. It's got so many people, but it's got no soul. And it's taking you so long to find out you were wrong when you thought it held everything. You used to think that it was so. Greetings, Pacifica members. This year, the month of June brings three different election activities to the network. We urge you to vote, and you can also run as a candidate if you choose. First, the nominations period for the 2021 Local Station Board Delegate Elections opens on June 1st and continues through June 30th. Second, starting on June 7th, watch for an email, postcard, or paper ballot to vote in the bylaws referendum. Be sure to vote by July 7th. Third, a proposal to amend Pacifica's Articles of Incorporation has been published for your review. For more information about all of these important choices, visit elections.pacifica.org. You can leave a voicemail at 510-933-0320. Thanks to you. Thank you.
I want to thank each and every one of you for coming by.
And while he's thanking those folks, let me take this opportunity to thank all of you, our listeners and support staff, our contributors, our interns, the volunteers, producers, and the entire crew that works countless hours to bring WBAI into your lives.
Tell me a story about your time at WBAI so I can let people know that you, in fact, have returned from retirement.
I retired because I was tired, but I found retirement more tiring than coming to BAI. BAI can be exhausting. Trump's there, and you have to, you know, you have to yak about it. And if you're sitting at home, you're just shouting to the walls. When you have a program at WBAI, you can alert them about Donald Trump.
That's David Rothenberg. Tune in to any Saturday mornings from 8 to 10.
This is a well-oiled